Well, I thank you for those, for everybody allowing me and Kim, not that you had a choice, but we got to go and celebrate with our kids and our family. Ashley's engagement, I don't know if I've shared that. We got to be there for our grandson's first birthday, but while we were there waiting for that to happen, he started walking. So we got to be there for that. So, which that kind of fits into where we're going today. You know, we've started a series several weeks ago called Quilted Promises. And the reason I called that, because there tend to be, when we go into some houses, verses put up on a wall, whether it be quilted, embroidered, framed, whatever, they're hung on the wall, full in full glory, because we love those verses. And so the reason that I want to share from some of these verses is because it's so easy for us to be tempted to just grab a verse because we like that, and we kind of bracket it without and try to hold it and make it say what we want it to say versus understanding the larger context of what that is. But to do so, we miss out on the power of those verses. And so we're digging a little bit deeper into some of those verses so that we can tap into a better understanding and more power that God has given us in His Word. For instance, we looked at Romans 8:28, where we learned that the power and the plan that comes together to work for all things good for those who are called according to God's purpose. And then we looked at the granddaddy of promises, the power of the truth of John 3:16, that God so loved the world that He sent His Son to die for our sin, that if we put our faith in Him, we can have eternal life. This week, we're going to look at Philippians 4:13. So I invite you to turn with me to Philippians 4. The verse says this: I can do all things through Him who gives me strength. We love that. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've talked to someone that's preparing for a, you know, they're weightlifting, they're playing sports, they're doing things, they're running marathons, and they're naming all these different things that they're trying to work their way up to doing. And they love to put it on a wall, write it on their, you know, arm, whatever these things, these various goals that we declare, I can do it. I think about my grandson. I mean, he's learning to walk, and he falls more times than he gets up. But he's getting there. And my older grandson, everything is, I do it. I do it. Let me help you. I do it. And we have that mentality in our world and in our lives of, I do it. I can do all things. And that's the promise we tend to hold on to, because that's where we stop. I can do all things. And yet, that's not the power of the promise, which is where most of us tend to stop. Because this verse is about a holy strength that we can be empowered with to face life as it comes at us. That there's a holy resolution within us. The power of this verse isn't, I can do all things. The power of this verse is, by all things only through Christ who gives me strength, or who strengthens me. Remember, we can't fully understand the promise without understanding the plan and the power of the context which the verse comes. And I would also add this morning that we need to understand the proof behind the promise of why we can say things like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because there's a process of understanding the proof of who He is and how He strengthens me to be able to do those things. So we start with some context. Paul is writing this letter to the church in Philippi. And Paul is not in a good place when he writes it. And I'm not talking mentally, I'm talking physically. He's in jail. And we're not talking a nice, cushy, clean place. We're talking a hole in the ground, likely, with a cage over the top. Because that's what the prisons tended to be. And Paul is writing this letter to a church. And he's declaring a love for them that's beyond most of our understanding. He's loving on this church and he's shepherding these people while he sits in chains in jail. And he wants to tell them that God has a plan for them. Trust the plan. And some of this is really hard as you read it to fully understand. And we love it because it's these words, but then we realize he's going through all this stuff. How can he say these kind of things? We get to the beginning of chapter 4. In verses 4 through 6, and remember, he's in jail. He is not in a good place. You know, he's dependent on other people to provide food because the Romans are not doing it. They're not providing basic needs. They provided a hole in the ground. And Paul is writing, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So here he is in jail, and he's going through these incredibly difficult things, knowing that likelihood of it is that he's going to die there. And he's saying, "You know what? I'm praying for you. I care for you. I love you. I know this is all a struggle. I know it's hard, but don't worry about it." Think about that. Verse 9. "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through him who gives me strength." Then we move to verse 19. "And my God will meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." So in verse 11, we find Paul, and he's declaring he knows the secret. And we all need to learn this secret. Some are more equipped at it right now than others, but I'm still working on it. But Paul's declaring to this church is he thanks them for supporting him. He says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned what in whatever state I am to be content." So thank you for the gift, he's saying. Thank you for remembering me. Thank you for caring. Thank you for showing your love through this gift. And what's powerful in verse 11 is the part that we often overlook. It's where he says, "I have learned." It's not just something that he's learned from a textbook. He's learned from going through it. He's learned from the school of hard knocks. But what you have to remember, though, is Paul was one of the elite. He He was one of the educational high-end. He was part of the Pharisees. He was part of the religious high-end. He both had the privilege of being part of the Jews as one of God's chosen, but he also had Roman citizenship. He had everything in the ways of that part of the world. He lived in the ultimate, and now he's in jail. And so in verse 11, he says, I have learned. And as believers, this is the key part of the promise. It's about learning. When we first give our hearts to Jesus, we're not just given all automatically full understanding of how to trust God in all things. It's part of a process. We don't know how to handle the difficult situations, how to be content, how to go about this life in a way that honors God. We're all on this journey, and it's difficult at times, and we have to learn how to trust. And so we learn from Christ through Scripture and through the Holy Spirit's prompting, and we learn from each other, and it's this discipleship program that we want to think, okay, we start here, and automatically we get here, but usually it's more like this. I'm sure you understood all of that. We have to learn. And so it's important for all of us to learn that this life is about learning to grow as we step out in faith one day at a time. One step of faith at a time. And it's about acknowledging that when we make a mistake, and we will make them, we'll make big ones and we'll make small ones. But we understand as we make those mistakes that it's not over because we made a mistake. It's an opportunity to learn and grow so that we don't make that same mistake again. It's about acknowledging and asking God for help in each and every situation, because we can't just give up. We don't just give up because we made a mistake. We continue to grow and step out and keep on giving out of that growth that we receive. Now, in regards to the proof of, you know, why we can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it's all about knowing who the promise is based on. Who are we putting our faith in when we claim that promise? John 12, Jesus reminds us that when a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. Which is a great place for us to start. But Paul gives us a lot to go on who God is within this letter as well. Paul states in chapter 1, he says, God is our Father, and he's my God. He's a personal God. Verse 6 of chapter 1, Paul declares, he will complete the work that he began in us. So he's the one that started it, he's the one working it, and he's the one that will complete it. Notice Paul didn't write, I began this, I'm continuing to work on it, and I will complete it. That God provides comfort to us as well. In chapter 2, Paul writes that God is merciful. In chapter 4, he writes that God is the God of peace. And that peace is that what we're craving, that we're desiring, that God is the only one that can provide for us. And in verse 19 of chapter 4, Paul declares at the end of this letter that he supplies all our needs. This is the God who we are trusting in the midst of our lack, as well as in our abundance. He loves us and is for us. So then we ask, well, what about this Jesus? Who is he? I mean, we know from John chapter 12 that he is the physical representation of the Father. But who is this Jesus that strengthens me? Well, for Paul, at the very beginning of this story that where we learn about him, Paul hates him. Not in this letter, but in Acts, we find that Paul just, he hates Jesus so much that he's going out in his own religious fervor and killing the people that have put their faith in Christ. And the thing that changes it is it goes from, well, Jesus is just a name, and then he has a face-to-face encounter with him. And his life changed from then on. And so in verse chapter 1, verse 2 of Philippians, Paul calls Jesus Lord. In verse 23, he declares that Jesus is in heaven. In chapter 2, verse 9, he declares that God has exalted Jesus and give him the name above that is above every name. This is Jesus. He's the one who strengthens us and keeps us strengthened in the midst of whatever we're going through. The proof of God's love is Jesus. Because he's the only one who lived a perfect life, who died on the cross for us, defeated death by rising from the dead on the third day, and he's coming back. So if he's the one who's strengthening us, if he's the one that's conquered all these things, why are we worrying? I mean, we have everything we need because he is the one that gives true life. He gives us real peace. Not just the peace that's the absence of conflict, but it's the peace that resides even in the midst of conflict. He gives us joy, and he gives us an abundant and purposeful life. In this, he transforms our life as we respond to him by living differently. So Paul says, I can do all things. And we start to wonder, well, what are those things? Is he out running a marathon? No. Unless he's just running in tight circles in jail. What is it, all these things that he's able to do? Well, remember, just before that, he says, I know what it's to be in need, and I know what it's to be at plenty. Everywhere in all things, I have learned to be content. Whether I'm full or I'm hungry, I can be content. I know what it's like to have a lot, and I know what it's like to have nothing. I can be content because God has provided me ultimately everything that I could ever need. The secret to understanding that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me is this: Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. So how do we put that into practice? How do we live this life in the midst of the ups and downs and the squirrely parts of life, going through all the different circumstances that we may face? How do we not give up? Well, first of all, we must build our lives on the truth of Christ. God's word is true, and we can base our whole life on that. Chapter 4, verse 8, Paul is giving them instructions. How do you want to set this up? He says, whatever things are true, noble, pure, meditate on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So we have to let God's word set the pace. We let God set the pace for our life. that we think, we meditate, we put all our existence based on that. And for that to happen, there a process has to begin where we learn truly to meditate on the truth, what's pure, what's lovely, and understand that the reward for that is the God of peace will be with us through whatever we go through in life, that God will not abandon us. God doesn't just throw us away once we've been created, that God is with us. Because it's an understanding that we can't give up because God hasn't given up. So we build that life on truth, and we focus on our resource. Now, most of us, when we hear that, focus on a resource, we want to automatically go to the definition that is, well, that's the things that I have. But I would say that we need to focus on a different definition of resource, and that's the capability in dealing with a situation or in meeting difficulties. So whether it's a hard situation like Paul's in prison or a good situation when he was on top, our resource is knowing how to deal with it. How would you measure your capability in dealing with the situation that life is throwing at you? Specifically, the difficult days, the hard days, the hard situations. Are you a person of inner resource? Is your heart, your mind, and your soul, are you letting God fill you so that in your need, you're able to draw from those resources and that specific resource? If you know what it's like to have plenty, are you letting humility reign in your life? Because like Paul had everything. And he lost everything. And he says in one part, if you think you had it all, I had more. He says, but now I understand that in Christ, I consider all of that nothing to the surpassing greatness of Jesus Christ, my Lord. What's your resource? It's not about what we physically have, as nice as that could be, but Jesus needs to be our strength. We ask the Holy Spirit to fill us, to enable us, that we draw from Him and not rely on ourselves. That we build a resource, a resilience, a stamina as we train and we focus on Christ. And why do we do it? Because we will go through trials when all that stuff that the world says is what we should depend on isn't anything. There will be times when we have to rely. And so we build this resource. We build all this stuff so that we can face the trial that we aren't in yet. Which is why it's so important that we're here today. I understand that sometimes it's no big deal. We think, oh, it's no big deal. I'm just tired. I don't want to go. I'll sleep in this Sunday, no big deal. Nobody will miss me. But the reality is we need each other. We need these times when we're being fed and we feed each other. That's why Sunday school is so important too. It's about feeding of one another, that accountability and resource and all these things and the relationships that they matter. And so we need to come to church. We need to listen to the message at times. And we need to be a part of a small group because they are what gives us a resource to draw from when we really need it. It's a part of that learning process. It's a part of filling up the bag of resources. And so we find hope and strength and we find community and kindness and grace because we've been storing it up. within our lives. And so we grow and we learn to use that resource, we gain understanding. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." I know most of us have gone through various things in life. And we get through them. And later on, we look back and we go, I don't know how we did it. But all I can say is God. All I can understand and say is we have to look to God. That's what got me through it. That we learn that key word, that the peace of God surpasses all understanding, only comes when we've placed our trust in that God, that we rely on Him. And we can't always fully understand Him, but we better, Proverbs 3 really helps us. It puts to words what we're trying to get to here. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. It's not about what we personally can understand fully and completely. Because understanding, I mean, and I know knowledge is huge, and we have more information at our fingertips than any point in the history of creation. That we have all this information at our fingertips. You want to know who won the 1923 World Series? It's as soon as Google. You don't have to memorize it. I know people that do. You want to know who won the Nobel Peace Prize or in this or that or any of those things, they're all available. But that's not what's going to get us through life. What gets us through life is understanding that God knows. And I put my trust, my faith, and my understanding in God's understanding, and we trust Him. And let that be enough, which helps us to rely on God's strengthening. Verse 13 says that Christ strengthens us. The amazing thing about that word, and we think about strengthens as this something, you know, of power. And it is a word of power. But the word that's given here is the word endynamo, which means a power to empower and to invigorate. It's somebody else that does something in us and for us. It's not something we do for ourselves. It says that Christ strengthens us. And the form of this word indicates it happens and it continues to happen. It's not a one and done kind of thing. It's not that Christ strengthened me. It's that Christ strengthens me and He continues to strengthen me as long as I put my trust in Him. So Paul is declaring in the midst of this, it is by His constant and renewed strength that I am enabled to be content and act in a way that honors God no matter the situation that I am in. Whether I'm in prison or I'm free, whether I have food or I have nothing to eat, whether I have the resources of money or I have nothing, I know that Christ strengthens me, and that is good enough. 2 Corinthians 12:9, we're reminded of a very important truth. God says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And I'm pretty sure that most of us here even today can feel weak at times. You may be in that moment right now where you're feeling pretty weak. But understand that God doesn't need you to try to have it all together so that then He can show you His strength. what he's doing is he's inviting us to say, God, I don't have it together. I need you. I rely on you. I need your strength, and I need your Holy Spirit to come upon me and give me an understanding that is beyond me. I need your reassurance, God. Because all your strength is made perfect in my weakness. It shows through best when I say, I can't. Which is why we need to have a tethered life. To be tethered, I always think of the word tether, and I think tether ball, which is where I tried to hit the other kid in the face. But that's not what God is saying here. To be tethered is to be connected to the source. It's that we're meant to be tethered to live to Jesus as our power, as our source. In the words of agriculture that Jesus often used, he says, I am the vine. I'm the source. You are the branches. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. The tether helps us to stay close in order to receive the power from the source. We can't do it on our own. We don't need to do it on our own. We don't need to be like my grandson who just declares to everybody, I do it. We're so tempted to say, God, I got this. I'll call you when I need you. And God's saying, you don't have to. I'm here. Okay, so we have a truth, we have a resource, we have understanding, we have strength, we're to be tethered. Ultimately, it's all about trust. It's about trust in the Father. When you trust, it matters who you trust. And who you trust changes your life because it changes the way that you live. When you fully trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior, as the one who continually strengthens you, you can do all things because he doesn't change. His strength always remains. You can be low, you can be high, you can be hungry, you can be full, but you always know that it's us and God together when we're tethered to the source. So that in our trust, we can take that step of faith and understand that God's with us. That God isn't leaving us. That he hasn't forsaken us. That he meets us and he gives us strength. We have to think about the whole task. All we have to do is trust in that next step. And yes, sometimes we're going to look like my one-year-old grandson who I called the zombie. And it's like, God, you got me? Just take the next step. Trust me. Take the next step. Trust me. And understand that sometimes, yeah, we're going to fall. But God gives us the strength and enables us to get right back up. And sometimes what we think is impossible, God says, that ain't nothing. Trust in me. Which is why it's so awesome today that we're going to celebrate a baptism. Someone who's put their trust in Christ fully. She has an amazing testimony. We were able to baptize her husband the last time. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that God, I admit I'm continuing to learn. Sometimes I'm trying to do it on my own. rely on my strength, my understanding. But God, help me to understand, to lean into you as I grab hold of the promise that I can do all things when I trust you for strength. When I trust you in the situations. When I learn to be content and understand that, God, you're so much than the things of this world. That those things will come and go, but you are for eternity. That like last week, if we can understand that if we put our faith and trust in you, that we can have eternal life. So God, we celebrate today. We celebrate knowing that you are God and we are not. We celebrate with you that in lives changed by you as we put our faith in you. Lord, we, for those that are here today that are still unsure, may they receive you and learn to take that next step of trust with you. For those that have been doing it for a long time, help us to remember to just continue to trust you for the next step. As our hope and our faith is in you. In your name we pray. Amen.